And because we had Brother Wagner's here last Sunday morning, and then last Sunday night I couldn't because of the annual business meeting. So you're going to get it tonight. Amen? And it's something I think that all of us need to be looking at and everything. And I've got quite a few scripture. I don't have a scripture reading to start with, so we're going to start with prayer and get right into it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. I just pray that we might get something out of this message tonight that'll be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Holding with the theme, hold fast, January was on food. And so I'm going to take and talk to you tonight a little bit about food. Amen? How many of us like to eat? Yeah. My wife was such a sweetheart. Friday was my birthday, so she went and she made me prime rib. Ooh, was it good. And we finished it tonight. We finished it today for lunch. And it was so good. But we need to hold fast unto what and everything that goes into our body. After all, our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You know, there's an awful lot of people that don't realize that this body contains the Holy Spirit once we're saved. Until then, it doesn't matter what you do to your body. I mean, you know, because the Holy Spirit's not there. But each one of us in this room is going to be able to benefit from this message. I guarantee it. You know, all of us at one time or another have been guilty of being a little pudgy around the middle. Amen? And you know what? I'm just going to a little side note here. Do you see this? Do you see this?
Your love handle?
No. Do you see that? Do you know it's all bought and paid for? Amen? You know, I own my car, my house is paid for, but this here is all bought and paid for. This is the only thing that a person can really say that you don't owe on, is what you have around the middle. And my wife had a nurse come in the other day to check on her and this and that, and she told her that she had lost, you know, X amount of pounds. And I said, yeah, and I found them. And she goes, you what? I said, I found every pound that she lost. And she goes, you did? I said, yeah. I said, you know, I paid for it, so I want to keep it in the family. Amen? So anyway, but I think all of us from time to time get a little bit of extra baggage, let's put it that way, around the middle section. But yeah. But, you know, I also believe that we need to take and be careful what we eat and be careful what we put into our body. Can you imagine for just a minute the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness? Think about that for a minute. For 40 years, they're wandering in the wilderness. Every morning, they got up and they went outside the camp and they picked up what? Manna. How much did they pick up? Enough for that day. Okay, every afternoon, what came in?
Quail.
Now, can you imagine being on a manna and quail diet for 40 years? You know, I don't know how many ways you can fix quail. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you could shish kebab it, you could barbecue it, you could roast it, you could boil it, you could, you know, I don't know. You know, you could have, and then manna. You know, what can you make out of manna? Cake? You know what? I bet they maybe made them into tortillas, and then they took the quail meat and put it in there, and they had tacos. Amen? You know, no, I don't. You know, I don't really know, but for 40 years, they had two basic items to eat. They had quail and they had manna. That was it. And think of the exercise they had. You know, there could not have been any Israelite who was overweight. You know, they walked for miles. And miles and miles and miles and miles. And all they had to eat was manna, quail, and water. You know, Sounds like you're in prison, doesn't it? Bread and water. You know what I mean? But you know, in this message today or tonight, we're going to see what God's original intent was for man to eat and how that He wanted the children of Israel to live their lives in the food that they ate. You know, we're going to be looking at Genesis, and we're also going to be looking at the book of Leviticus, if you want to turn to those two books in your Bibles, and because that's where we're going to be in most of today's message. But God's original intent for food is found in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 29. It says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Now, God's original intent was that man should be what? A vegetarian. Think about it. He said, okay, this is what you're going to eat. This is your meat. Fruits and vegetables. Right? That was God's original intent for man, was that he would eat fruit and vegetables. You know, they could eat all they wanted, which bore seed, and every tree except for the tree in the midst of the garden, and they were not to shed any blood for food. You know, why was it God didn't want them killing animals for food? Huh? Nope. No, there was no laws yet then.
Huh? They're all pets.
Okay. But there weren't many, were there? God had just created them. You know, I think it was just like after the flood. There were not many animals upon the earth yet when Adam and Eve were in the garden. And God says, you can eat all of the seed-bearing fruit. Why did he want them to eat anything that didn't bear seeds? Yeah. I mean, can you imagine them eating all the navel oranges? You know, they don't have seeds, you know. But, okay, but he's saying, hey, if it's got seeds, go ahead and eat it. You know, but don't eat anything that doesn't have seeds because it can't reproduce. Now, I do not believe that there were very many animals in the Garden of Eden at that time, much like it was after the flood. Now, man did not become carnivorous until after the fall of man. It was not until Adam and Eve sinned in the garden was there any bloodshed. You know, when God made coats for them to cover their sins, that was the first time blood was ever shed. And I believe that God did that as a sign of what was going to happen in the future. I believe that God killed an animal, took those skins, and covered their sins with that skin, and the blood was shed for that purpose. Kind of like Jesus dying for us, amen? Now, here we see that they didn't become carnivorous. You know, God used an innocent animal to kill it to cover their sins. Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. It says, "And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Now, we have no idea, at least I don't. Now, maybe Brother Echoes does. Do you have any idea where sacrificing started? Okay, it doesn't say in the Bible where it started. However, we do know that one of the first sacrifices that was made was by Cain and Abel. Remember? Cain brought fruit, Abel brought animals. God liked the animals better than he did the fruit. That should tell us a lot about California, amen? Land of the fruits, nuts, and flakes. Anyway, the but what we need to realize is this, is that God said, I like the animal sacrifice better than the fruit sacrifice because of the shedding of blood. Now, you know, Cain had no idea that that was what God wanted. And I believe that God had instituted sacrifice with Adam and Eve. However, they did not give it down to Cain, or at least Cain didn't listen. Like most teenagers, you know what I mean? They never listen. You know, he might have been 500 years old when they told him that he had a sacrifice. You know what I mean? And when you get that old, you don't listen anyway. Amen? But what we need to realize is this, is that the two boys sacrificed. Abel, he brought animals, and Cain brought fruits and vegetables. And God liked Abel's sacrifice better. Now, Adam and Eve did not eat any meat at all until they were cast out of the garden. And now, God's intent for man was that he would be a vegetarian all of his life because they were supposed to be in the Garden of Eden. They weren't to go out, you know, that's where they were supposed to be. But it was through the sin of man that he became carnivorous. It was through the sin that blood had to be shed. Now, God also made certain animals clean and unclean before him. Genesis chapter 7. If you want to turn there, as long as you're in the book of Genesis. Keep your fingers in Genesis chapter 4. But Genesis chapter 7. It says, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven, the male and the female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Now Noah, when he went into the ark, he was to take how many of every animal? Two of the unclean and seven of the clean. Now, why was it that God wanted seven of the clean animals and only two of the unclean animals? What's that? Sacrifice. Because of sacrifice. They could sacrifice clean animals, but they could not sacrifice unclean animals. So God says, I want you to take seven of the clean animals because when you get off the ark, I want you to sacrifice to me. So that's what they were going to do. Now, Genesis chapter 6, verse 19, it says, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Here we see that Noah, when he went into the ark, he was to take two of every animal except the clean. He was supposed to have seven. Now, in Genesis 7:2, he tells him that he needs to take seven of the clean and two of the unclean. Now, some animals take baths and others don't. That's where they got the clean and the unclean animals from. Is everybody here? Is anybody awake? Did you hear that? That's where the clean and unclean animals came. No, forget it. Hey, you know what? When you have to explain a joke, it's not a joke. You know, God wanted certain animals to be sacrificed to him in order to be sanctified. Now, the clean animals could be sacrificed, and the unclean that he didn't want to be sacrificed. Now, in Genesis 4:4, we see that Abel had brought the firstlings of his flock, and that's where God first instituted the clean animal sacrifice. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, it says, and Noah builded an ark unto the Lord, and took every clean animal and every clean fowl, and offered a burnt offering on the altar. After the flood, Noah came out of the ark, and he took the clean beast, and he built an altar, and he made a sacrifice unto God. Why did he make a sacrifice unto God? What's that? You know what? I can see this happening. Noah coming out of that ark, and he's grabbing them clean animals just as fast as he could. He's throwing them on the altar, going to give a sacrifice, and he's going, "Praise God, I'm not in that boat with all those animals anymore." Think about it. How long was he in the ark with them animals? One whole year. I mean, can you imagine the stench? They only had one window, and they couldn't open it. No ventilation. Woo! I don't know about you, but I've been in barns that have been very, very, very smelly. I mean, you talk about aromatic. I mean, especially in the wintertime when everything's shut up. You know, I've worked with farmers in Wisconsin for years, and I hated wintertime more than any time because they always had the door shut. And here you walk into a barn, and you might have 150 or 200 cows and stanchions in that barn. And you walk in, and the stench just goes, wham! And you go, yep, I'm in the barn. You know, oh. And I can't imagine what it was like to be in that ark for a whole year. What did they do with the feces? You know, think about it. It's an ark. There's only one window. And you can't open it. What are you going to do with all... I mean, you know, that's one of the questions I'm going to ask God when I get there. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah, maybe so. You know, maybe they had the scavengers down on the bottom, you know, they eat anything. You know, pigs, you know, I mean, stuff like that. But, you know, you take and you think about that. I mean, you know, a whole year, a person could go mad, you know, in some place like that, enclosed for a year with those animals. I mean, they're all bellowing and yelling and screaming. They're hungry. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that when he got off that ark, he's going, "Praise God! You know, we finally made it." Oh, man. You know, but God had made certain animals clean and certain unclean. And turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 11. That's where we're going to park for the rest of the message tonight. Leviticus chapter 11, we see that this is taking food one step farther. This is the Levitical law, or the dietary law, for the Israelites. God had given how many laws to the Israelites? 462. 462 laws were given to the Israelites that they were supposed to follow. You know what? We have a hard time following 10, don't we? But yet they had 462 that they were supposed to follow. Nobody could follow that many laws. You know, here we see that in Leviticus chapter 11, not only does he not want certain animals to be sacrificed, but he does not want certain animals to even be eaten. And we're going to see why here in a little bit. But Leviticus chapter 11, verse 3, it says, "Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat." Now, these are the clean animals that God said that they could eat. The cow, the calf, the sheep, the goat, the deer, and anything that had a parted hoof. Now, what we need to realize is that God also said that there's certain fowls certain animals that you can, or birds that you can eat. In 11, verse 21, it says, "Yet these are this ye may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, and leap withal upon the earth. Chickens, doves, pheasants, quail, ducks, and geese, they were all part of that." Now, he also goes on to say that they are to eat certain fish. And in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "These shall ye eat of all that are in the water, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the water, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat." You know, most of the fish were freshwater fish at that time. I mean, there was some that weren't, and they weren't supposed to eat them. Now, most of the freshwater fish they could eat. How many of you like trout? How many of you like bass? I love going down to Georgia, going bass fishing with my granddaughter. Oh, man. We had some largemouth bass about that long last summer. Oh, they were so good eating. Man. How many of you like walleye? Oh, man. In the spring of the year, we had what was known as a walleye run about 5 miles from where we lived in the Wolf River. The walleyes would come up out of Lake Winnebago up into the Wolf River, and that's where they spawned. And they would not take bait on their way up, but they would on the way back. Well, after they spawned out, they were really hungry. The females were hungry. And on the way down, man, they would almost bite on anything. And we just, one right after the other, we'd catch. We were there on the river 24 hours a day fishing. It was just like deer hunting. It was a national holiday in Wisconsin. You know, it really was. You know, we had, you know, you people down south here, you don't know what holidays are all about. You really don't. You have no idea. I mean, let's face it. You guys down here, you have President's Day. What do you do on President's Day? Nothing. Now, think about this. We had deer hunting. That was a national holiday, believe it or not. Businesses closed down opening day of deer hunting. That Saturday of deer hunting, there was very few businesses were open because the business owners were out hunting right along with everybody else. The walleye run. As soon as the walleye run hit the news, everything shut down. In fact, the Wolf River, you could walk from boat to boat all the way across the river. That's how many boats were in the river. It was unbelievable. But guess what? Knowing me the way you do, I had secret fishing places. In fact, one of my best friends was a game warden. They're nice to have, you know what I mean, game wardens? One night, I was out fishing, and he came up in the boat, and he said to me, he says, "Well, did you catch any?" I said, "No, not yet." He says, "Jump in." I said, "Okay." So I jumped in his boat, and we took off. We went up river, and we came up into this area, and it was all flooded. This area was all flooded. And he says, "Grab my spotlight and just shine it across the water." And I took his spotlight and I shined it across the water, and I could not believe what I saw. Walleyes, their eyes, if they get hit with light, they light right up just like flashlights. There was millions of fish that were just waiting to spawn. The water temperature had to be a certain water temperature before they would spawn. But as soon as that water hit that water temperature, they were spawned and they were starting to head back downstream. So we always kept a thermometer in the water to see what the water temperature was. And as soon as that water temperature hit a certain temperature, we were out on the raft 24/7. The best that we ever did, now you could only have 4 walleye per person in your possession at a time. Okay? So what we did, the guy that I fished with was the police chief in this town, And we knew the game warden real well. Anyway, so we would get there, and we would catch, he would catch his four, and I'd catch my four. He'd get on the radio and call his son, and his son had come from home with a boat, him and his other son, and we'd throw those eight fish in there. They'd take off, go back home, unload them. We had a 800-gallon bulk tank that we just kept recirculating water in. At one time, we had 600 walleye in that fish tank, just ready to be harvested. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, I mean, these are walleyes this big. They're huge. And so, you know, I'm a fisherman, by the way. I like to fish. But, you know, God said, listen, if it's got scales, you can eat it. Well, what about the carp? What about the catfish? What about the lobster? Crab? I didn't say anything. We went out to eat last night. She had five, plates full of crab. Oh, she had six. Okay, I'm sorry. I counted five. But listen, God says, hey, I don't want you eating any of that stuff. Why was it that he put a difference between them? Yeah, scavengers. Now think about this for just a minute. God said, I want you to take and eat animals that are cud chewers. What's a cud chewer? Yeah, but what do they do? Yeah. A cow's got three stomachs. The first one they chew, they goes down in there. Pretty soon they throw it up and they chew it again and they get a little more nourishment out of it. They swallow it, goes into the second stomach. Pretty soon they throw that up and they're chewing that and they keep chewing and chewing and chewing. And they get all as much as nutrition out of it and it goes into the third stomach where it's finally digested and it comes out. Now, what you need to realize is there's a lot of animals that do that. In fact, there are animals that have up to five stomachs. Five stomachs. And they'll regurgitate and regurgitate and regurgitate and regurgitate. And that's how they get their nutrition. And God says, those are the ones that you can eat. Why? Because they made proper digestion of their food. Now, think about this for a minute. Think of a pig. Pig has one stomach. What do pigs eat? Anything they can find? Yes, you are. You are. The rest of us aren't too bad. You. He asked, okay? I mean, like I said, but listen, that's what God said. God says, I don't want you eating the trash. I want you to eat the good stuff. Now, unclean animals were not to be eaten, you know, and we kind of looked at that a little bit. You know, look at some of the unclean animals. Camels, they were a beast of burden. God says, I don't want you eating them. Another one was bears. You know, bears have paws. They couldn't eat them. Seals, hippos, whales. Whales couldn't be eaten. Why couldn't a whale be eaten? They weren't a bottom feeder. Huh? Yeah, but why? Why wouldn't he let them eat? Huh? No. What does a whale eat? Everything. Now, God says, I don't want you eating something that may have a disease. How many of you lived back in the 1950s? How many of you know what trichinosis is? What's trichinosis? What animals? Pigs. That and listen, they had that back in the days of the Israelites. God says, I don't want you eating diseased animals. These animals that eat all the garbage are going to have diseases, and I don't want you to eat them. I wonder if we took and we did that today, if it might help us a little bit. After all, look at all the trash that's in the ocean right now. You know what I mean? There's islands of it. And that stuff's just rotting in the ocean. And the toxins. And these animals are eating that. The fish are eating that stuff. Wow. No wonder we're sick. But you know, it's interesting to notice that God was trying to protect the children of Israel from getting any disease, which some of these animals probably would have had naturally. You know, in the days of the Israelites, they didn't fully cook anything. You know, think about that for a minute. How were they going to fully cook everything when they were moving all the time? Okay, just think about this for a second. Here's Mrs. Eccles and Brother Eccles, and they have their family, and they're parked somewhere. You know, they're camping in the wilderness. All of a sudden, the cloud starts moving, or the pillar of fire starts moving. And they're going, oh no, here we go again. Put out the fire, pack everything up, we're on the move. Right? So it didn't make any difference what she was making. They had to eat it the way it was. And they had to eat it now. It's kind of like having Happy Meals. You know what I mean? What do we have? Happy Meal. Be happy with what you get, kid. You know what I mean? Happy Meals. What we need to realize is that God was trying to take and protect them from getting disease. You know, to this very day, there's an awful lot of Jews who hold the dietary laws. There's an awful lot of them that hold to the dietary laws just as they're written in the book of Leviticus. You know, they won't eat certain animals. They won't eat any unclean animals. And they will only eat meat that has been roasted or boiled. You know, they won't eat pork. They wouldn't eat lobster, crab, all the good feed. They won't eat any foods which God told them in the book of the law that they could not eat. You know, many hold to the vegetarian diet. You know, after all, God told Adam and Eve, you're going to be vegetarians. This is what you can eat. And there's an awful lot of people that still do that. Bless their heart. I like a good old T-bone steak once in a while. Amen? Rare. You know, there's been scientific proof that if a person is a vegetarian, that your digestive system, believe it or not, is better than a person that eats a lot of meat. So, I like my meat. And, you know, if you eat lots of grains and things like that. And another thing that, you know, of course they didn't have electricity back then. They couldn't juice. How many of you ever juiced?
Every day.
I know he does. You know, I used to juice. My daughter and I, when we were in Wisconsin, I read through the Bible, you know, all the time. I mean, I was reading through the Bible about every 2 months, 2 to 3 months. And because I just wanted to make sure I knew what God wanted me to do with my life. And that was after the plane crash. And I really came convicted that God wanted me to do something other than the way I was eating. So I said to my daughter, I said, you know what? I said, let's try juicing. She goes, what's that? And I said, well, you know, you just take, we'll go out and we'll buy a bunch of fruits and vegetables. We got a recipe book and we started making different juices. And I'll tell you what, in less than 2 months, I mean, our complexion was better. Our energy level was way up because we were getting all the vitamins and nutrition that we needed. And so we juiced breakfast and lunch. And then we would take and just have a light supper, like chicken breast or something like that for supper. And I lost a lot of weight. I really did. And I felt good doing it in that. And so we went and we I found a recipe. It was called cantaloupe shake. A cantaloupe shake, it was called. And it was cantaloupe and strawberries. And you put the two together and you juice it. Oh, man, you have no idea how good that was. I mean, it was delicious. I made myself a 32-ounce glass. I made her a 32-ounce glass. And we drank that. And, oh, man, it was so good. She said, Dad, she said, why don't we make one for lunch, too? I said, I've already got the one done for lunch. And I said, we'll be okay. So I had taken my book and I had thrown it in the car because I was looking at recipes during the day for what we could have the next day. So I left and we went to work. And we didn't get 5 miles down the road. And she looked at me and I looked at her and I said, closest bathroom. She goes, yep. So we found the first gas station, went there. And we got back in the car and we didn't get 5 miles down the road. Now, I never went into a casino. And that was the only thing that was 5 miles down the road was a casino. And both of us went in there. We get back in, and I said to her, I said, get in that book and find out what that was that we drank. It was a colon cleanser. Believe me, it cleaned us out good. Man, I'll tell you what, you know, if we would have went hunting, we'd have had anything we wanted, you know, but, oh, man, I'll tell you what, it... We found out that, no, that was something we did not want to do again. But, you know, there's a lot of things that a person can do to make you healthy. You know, but when did things really go downhill? When did things really change? In Acts chapter 12, it says this. Acts chapter 10, verse 12, it says, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and the wild beasts, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Whoa. Now, Peter had never eaten anything unclean in his entire life. After all, what was he? He was a fisherman. They kept everything with scales that were good fish. The rest of them they threw out. You know, God told Peter that everything that was made was created to be eaten. You know, I realize this is taking... this is really talking about Peter going to the Gentiles and preaching the gospel. However, I believe also that we can use this as an indication that we can eat certain things that they could not eat before because they were unlawful. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, tells the church of Corinth that it's okay to eat all foods as long as it's done in a certain manner, and that's with thanksgiving unto the Lord. If we thank God for our food, we should be able to take and eat whatever God has given us. Now, Paul told them it was okay to eat the meat as long as it did not cause a brother to stumble or to cause him to lose his faith. You know, there was a guy that moved into a neighborhood, and this neighborhood was extremely Catholic. And every Friday night, he would go out and he would start his grill and he would have steaks on the grill. This is back in the 1950s and 60s. And he would have steaks on the grill. And the smell of that would go over into the Catholic's backyard. And they became very upset. So they went and they got the priest. And the priest came over and talked to this guy. And he says, you know what? He says, you're living in a Catholic community. You need to turn Catholic. He's okay, fine. So he went and he turned Catholic. So the next Sunday, here's this guy up in front of the congregation, And the Catholic priest, he's sprinkling him, and he's saying, you were born a Baptist, you grew up a Baptist, now you are a Catholic. And so the next Friday night, why, they could smell these steaks burning again, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. This guy looked over the fence, and sure enough, here's this guy, and he's got his grill going, and he's grilling steaks, and he's sprinkling water on him. He says, you were born a calf, you were raised a steer, now you are a fish. Well, that isn't exactly what God meant by what we should and should not eat. Now, every one of us can eat foods, you know, that we like, and it's not a sin as long as we give thanks to it. You know, however, I believe that if we would stay away from certain foods, I believe that we could have a better life. You know, you look at all the toxins and things that we take into our body every day from the foods we eat, and it's no wonder we have cancer, no wonder we have different ailments that we have. You know, if we would relate our spiritual lives to our food, we could live a much better, productive Christian life too, couldn't we? You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? The very moment that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, what do we want to do with His temple? What do we want to do with His house? Do we want to take a lot of garbage in, or do we want to keep it clean? You know, if you're here today and you're not saved, you know, you don't know where you go if you were to die, you need to take and make sure of that tonight. You know, we need to know if we're a child of God or not. If you don't know where you would spend eternity, you need to find out tonight. Because I'll tell you what, our days are getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. I preached a message not too awful long ago. It's called The Red Heifer. And I happened to listen to a message last Monday night from a preacher that had preached the same message. And it sounded like he used my outline. It really did. And and this is what he said at the end of the message. He said, folks, I want you to know something. We are not living in the last days anymore. We are not living in the last days. We are living in the last moment of the last day. He says, any moment, the trump could sound. Not only could the trump sound, but there'd be a shout, and we'd be gone. Just like that. We'd be gone. He says, we need to make sure we know where we're going to spend eternity. You know, as the world is getting more and more wicked all the time, you know, in my message this morning that I preached on the sanctity of life, you know, I was appalled at the decision of the New York government and, you know, saying that abortion was okay right up to the day that a woman, you know, was going to give birth. And, you know, I wonder what God thinks on that. After all, it was God that instituted childbearing. And we need to realize that He's the one who creates. And He should be the one who takes out, not man. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. Be with us at this invitation. Thank you for this message that we had tonight. I just pray, Lord, that we can take and use it for your honor and your glory. Father, I just pray that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure where I'd spend eternity if I were to die. I have no idea, none. Would you pray for me tonight? Is there anyone like that? Anyone at all? Father, you know our hearts. I just pray for everyone who's here tonight. I just pray, Lord, that you take and be with them, guide them and direct them in all that they do. Father, we just love you so much. We know that your coming is going to be soon, and we just thank you and we praise you for it. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand, turn to hymn number 535.